Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this fifth day of July, 2024. I trust that all of you listening had an enjoyable 4th of July celebration with family, friends, and loved ones, and that you had opportunities for declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, in addition to having a fun rest, relaxation, and much-needed refreshment. Before I introduce my guest and topic today, I just want to remind everyone listening that if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which is going to be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. We are featuring for the very first time ever our keynote speaker, Dr. Joe Boot, who is a prolific author, conference speaker, and the founder and president of the Ezra Institute. And it not only is the admission free for all men in ministry leadership, and not only is your lunch completely free of charge, every man attending will receive a heavy sack of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. If you'd like to register for this free event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Well, have you ever wondered what the plus means at the end of LGBTQ? I'm sure that most of you, like me, just figured that they ran out of letters, or it would be too cumbersome and lengthy for people to memorize if they were to list every perversion under the sun that is considered a part of the homosexual rights movement. Well, my guest today believes it has a specific meaning, and he believes that it is a promotion of pedophilia. And my guest today to discuss this is Jack Wilkie. He is a returning guest to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He's an author, co-host of the Think Deeper podcast, and regularly featured writer at the Church Reset Substack. And our theme for the day is, what is the true LGBTQ plus mission for your children? It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jack Wilkie.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me back.
Well, first of all, tell us something about the Church Reset Substack and what you actually mean by Church Reset.
Yeah, it's just named after a book I released in 2020. Really looking at the modern church paradigm and consumer Christianity. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the term seeker sensitive and how that's come to dominate really the church growth landscape, and kind of rethinking that, resetting back to disciple making, toward family like church rather than business like church, rather than, hey, we hope you like it here and we're going to put on a million things to keep you busy and distracted. It's really about becoming a part of the work yourself and what every joint supplies, as Ephesians 4 talks about. And so that was what the book was about. And so now it's a site that really looks at matters of the church. And then I try and do two articles a week, one on matters of the church and then one on cultural issues like the things we're going to talk about today and things like that. And so, that's where the name comes from.
Well, if anybody wants more details, you could go to my guest's website, Jack Wilkie, and that's spelled WILKIE.co, jackwilkie.co. Well, as I've already said at the outset of the program, the plus at the end of the LGBTQ acronym or acrostic, I always forget which one to use, you have come to be convinced through a mountain of evidence and a growing mounting pile of evidence that the plus stands for pedophilia. And I understand that a bit of controversy was sparked even among professing Christians when last year you began Pride Month by writing an article informing your audience that the plus stands for pedophilia. And there was quite a negative response, even from people who profess to be Christians, insisting that you were being overly provocative and offensive in ways that would drive members of the community away from the truth. And obviously you said that was not your intention. But tell us, first of all, about that. And is that kind of reaction, in your opinion, does that go hand in hand with what you just mentioned earlier about the seeker-sensitive movement, where people are more afraid about how men will react over than how fearful they are of God himself?
That's a great question to connect those two. I think that really is part of it, of really thinking, how are people going to feel about this? Well, that's not really the question. Is it true or not? And of course, we want to present the truth in love, but if it's true, we still need to find a way to say it. And at first it was kind of, okay, this isn't officially what the plus stands for. It's just kind of, it's so strong and so broadly evident in everything they do. But man, the more time goes on, the more I see, the more I think that really is, they don't have the cultural cachet. They don't feel they have the boldness just yet to come out and say, we'll accept pedophiles, and that's part of our movement. Although I will say, we'll talk about something here in a bit, I believe, where they tried to float that balloon a few years ago to put that as kind of part of their movement. Did not go over well, and they retracted it. But now there's this just kind of vague plus of sexual minorities. And when you start looking at their messaging from decades ago, when you start looking at things that they're doing, it's just so apparent that this is baked into the movement. It is part of everything that they do, includes kids. And so you can't deny that this is part of what's happening. And you look at, well, which letter stands for that? Well, there's not one, but there is a plus that's, again, just a very vague, undefined plus. Well, again, look at their actions and you'll see what else is covered in that. And so none of them, that was some of the pushback I got, was, no, that's not what it stands for. Nobody's going to officially say that. I'm just saying you can read into things enough so easily when it is a mountain of evidence. But then again, you have Christians saying, boy, that really hurts the feelings of some folks in the LGBT community. They're not going to want to come to Christ when they see this. My hope would be that if there are truth seekers and they find out they've aligned themselves with a movement that is pro or tolerant of or okay with the sexualization of children, a good, honest, truth-seeking person is going to say, I don't want anything to do with that. And so one of the parts of evangelism is exposing people to difficult truths. I mean, Romans 1 says what it says for a reason. It's important to get these truths out there to show people the ugliness of sin, even if they're caught up in it.
Yeah, well, obviously, it would probably be good also to give a caveat I'm sure my guest is not saying, as I am not trying to convey the idea, that all sinners are identical.
Sure.
Not all drunkards, as I once was, are heroin addicts in addition to being drunkards. Not all murderers are serial killers, and we could go on and on and on. And it's even wrong to bear false witness against sinners. Lying about someone is a sin, whether they are a Christian with a stellar reputation or a leader in the Christian church, or if they are someone on trial for a crime. And we are not obviously to bear false witness and heap on other crimes to the ones they actually committed in our accusations. So therefore, we are not saying everyone who is involved in the damnable, unnatural sin of homosexuality is a pedophile or has attraction to children. So we want to rule that out. So don't start accusing us of saying things that we're not saying.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, there appears to have always been some kind of a tolerance within the movement, even though there may be individuals and there may be many individuals who identify themselves as homosexuals, who are vehemently opposed to the idea of pedophilia. There has still in the movement been a subtle or not so subtle tolerance of this satanic behavior known as pedophilia. And I can even immediately remember years ago, I don't know if it was before you were born, Jack, but I believe it was when Rudolph Giuliani was running for president. And I believe that was back in the 90s. And he marched in the gay rights parade to show that although he was a Republican, he didn't hate homosexuals. And I remember being furious that he was a compromiser by doing so. But either known or unbeknownst to Rudy Giuliani, he was actually marching right next to the Mambla Float, which is an organization that enthusiastically defends child molestation.
Yeah, that's what the acronym stands for.
The Man Boy Love Association. So if this was viewed as a vile and grotesque crime by all those who would call themselves gay rights activists, they never would have permitted this float to exist in their parade, would they?
No. Well, and that I'm glad you made the statement. It is not saying that all practice this or anything else. My whole argument here is the farther you go into this movement, you're either going to have to endorse that kind of behavior or look the other way and pretend it's not a problem. Exactly what you're saying, like Giuliani with that float. You look around and you find yourself surrounded by these people who are sexualizing children and advocating for the sexualization of children and lowering the age of consent and all kinds of legal battles they're fighting. You can't just keep running along with that. Somebody who is against this with all their heart, as every decent person should be, would be distancing themselves from this movement to say, you know what, if they're going to allow me and these guys, these pedophiles, I don't want to be a part of it. And that's really the choice that a lot of them are having to make. And a lot of them are saying, well, it's okay. It's just part of it.
And of course, there are those out there who have actually given a sweet sounding candy coated name for people who have the satanic desire to have sex with prepubescent children. They have begun to call them MAPs, minor attracted persons. And I know that there are even those that identify as homosexuals. In fact, there's even a growing number of so-called conservative people that identify themselves as homosexuals who are hosting programs, podcasts, and even frequently featured on Fox News, who have a political worldview that is conservative and they are even embarrassed by much of what goes on in the name of gay rights and gay rights activism. This is still an idea of redefining this as just a sexual proclivity, no different than any other proclivity, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual proclivities. This is just another one, minor attracted persons. And I don't know of anybody who is openly and publicly saying that this should be tolerated and advocated and celebrated yet, but it's still out there being treated with kid gloves, as they say. Any further comment on that?
Sure. So I mentioned this a minute ago. It was Salon.com ran an article 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little further, and it was exactly that. They were, as you said, nobody's advocating this publicly. This was the first attempt, and it was somebody saying, I'm a minor attracted person. Don't treat me like a monster. It went over so poorly that it has been pulled from Salon.com. You can find archived versions of it if you look hard enough on the internet. But they were really trying to say, look, I'm just up there with all the rest of them. I'm no different. And again, the backlash was so severe, they took it down. But there was that attempt. And I would not be surprised if there's another attempt. But you introduce an interesting idea there about the people, even right-wing conservative political people who want to distance themselves from that. I don't think that is, I think in the short term that works. I think long term, the logic always leads you back there. When you're always talking about being born this way, when you're always talking about, I can't help how I was made, I can't help how I am, when you're talking about the love is love slogan and things like that, those things are always going to slide into more and more degeneracy, and it's always going to come back around to children. That's just part of it. The age of consent, the thing you're seeing with transgenderism. If a five-year-old can claim he's a girl or a girl can claim she's a boy, you're establishing the ideas of consent. And so there is no version of this where you climb halfway up the slippery slope and just stop right there. You're always going to slide back down, and you're going to end up with people advocating like Salon.com did of, they're not monsters, they're just one of us.
Yeah, you said something very vital to be included in this discussion, is that if a huge number of people who are leftists believe that children, young, tiny, prepubescent children, should be permitted to have puberty blockers and other pharmaceutical approaches to changing so-called their gender, and even to the point of surgery, if you are saying a child can make a life-changing, permanent decision like that, irreversible decision like that, even though we don't allow them to drive automobiles, we don't allow them to vote, and so on, you're saying that they can give consent to that. It seems to me like a thinly veiled step in approving of children making a decision, so-called, to have sex with an adult.
Absolutely. And there's the other side of this, in that they are separating children from their parents.
Yes.
The child can make this decision for themselves, and so you're giving the child full autonomy, and that full autonomy and decision-making power, which I've got young kids. They get very confused over, who can I marry? One day they want to marry their cousin. One day they want to marry their buddy. You know, the boy with his friend who's a boy. They don't have the wherewithal to make any kind of decision about this stuff. But what these people want to do, and what states like California are doing, is entrenching it to where that kid can say that. The parents can't tell him otherwise, and then they can come rush in and take the children away, or legally mandate that no counselor can talk a kid out of this stuff, and all kinds of things like that, that are really, again, just trying to give kids this legal ability to have this, that they have no business having. Anybody who's been around small children knows they don't know anything. Even up to in their teenage years, you're seeing 12 and 13 year olds with these surgeries. Kids don't have the ability. They don't have the abstract thinking or thinking into the future. They get very confused, and they're having these things forced on them by peers at school, or by TikTok and things they're seeing on the internet or whatever. and they go down this road, and then you've got the law, you know, the state stepping in to say parents can't stop this. This is where they're going to go. And yeah, again, this is setting a number of very, very dark precedents for the sexualization of children. If you, I don't see how anybody doesn't see that.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. If you have a question for Jack Wilkie, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and we could readily understand a theme like this evoking questions from people who do have very personal and private matters that they want to ask about, that could be that they themselves are struggling with homosexuality or even pedophilia, or at least desires in that toward that end, where they have loved ones in that position, maybe even loved ones who have been arrested and convicted of this. Whatever the case may be, we understand that if you have a personal and private matter, it would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, executive director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven. an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, royaldiadem.com, on top of the monthly financial support that they already automatically provide Iron Trip and Zion Radio, they are adding to that an amazing, mind-blowing offer. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to Iron Trip and Zion Radio listeners, as long as those listeners mention Iron Trip and Zion Radio when making their purchase of jewelry at royaldiadem.com. Whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you're having a customized, one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created, whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Trip and Zion Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. And keep in mind, if you are interested in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase. Even if you are not making your final purchase today, go to royaldiadem.com today to get the ball rolling on your purchase, because we have no idea when royaldiadem.com is going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry. So to further ensure we will get 100% of the profits from the purchase that you're making, please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Jack Wilkie, who is an author and podcast co-host, and we are discussing a very disturbing topic that needs to be addressed, and that topic is, what is the true LGBTQ plus mission for your children? And our email address for questions is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. So, Jack, tell us about your findings, your discoveries, when you began to investigate what this plus was all about, and why, maybe first of all, why is this important? People may think that you're exaggerating the importance of a thing like that. Evangelical Christians have not only been mocked by left-wing atheists and agnostics for attributing the Teletubbies and other things to homosexual a homosexual agenda, and even Christians have mocked other Christians for this, and this will be no different, I'm sure. So tell us why this is important, first of all, and then begin to tell us what began to unfold in your investigation.
I think for a long time, Christians and a lot of people had a negative view of homosexuality. It just kind of nature tells you this, and there's that instinct that says this isn't right. And through campaigns, and I'm going to talk about this in just a minute, how this came about, it became softer and people really got a different opinion, and there are so many TV shows and things like that, and it's just, this could be your neighbor next door. They're normal. They're just like you. They can't help it. They were born this way, and all of this targeted campaign. And it gets worse and worse. In the pride parades, it used to be, well, why does it bother you what somebody does in the privacy of their bedroom? And now they march down Main Street of every city in America, unclothed, performing sexual acts, all of these things. And I think the last thing left that people have that disgust, that sense of this is wrong, is when it comes to children. And I think it's very important that we point out children will always be a part of this. Children always have been a part of this. And so you, as I said earlier, you can't roll back the slippery slope halfway, and people will say, well, the slippery slope, that's a logical fallacy. No, it's not. It can be, but if the principles are in place to make one move, those same principles apply to other moves. And so, as I said earlier, love is love, born this way, things like that are the exact same principles they've used every step along the way, and now they're applying it to children, as we see. And so it's unavoidably going to end up here. And so we need people to regain that sense of this is wrong, this is unhealthy, this is bad for society, it's bad for the home, and this is dangerous for children when we allow this to go on. And so it's not, let's roll this back one step. Let's re-examine the whole thing through the lens of pedophilia is inextricably linked. And so you mentioned kind of the history of it. In 1987, an article was written. It was distributed in a gay magazine. It's, you can still find it online. This is not like some fringe conspiracy making things up. This is just right out there. It's still published on gay websites. It was called The Overhauling of Straight America. And it was later turned into a book called After the Ball. And both of which were about getting Americans to accept the homosexual movement. And it was written by two gay men. One of them was a neuropsychology expert, and the other one was a marketing expert. You put those two things together, they know how the brain works. They know how people respond to messaging. They are very good at their jobs. And they wrote this document saying, here's how we're going to get America to accept us, the homosexual movement. And it is a brilliant piece of strategy. It was terrible, but it was brilliant. And it worked. As I said earlier, you see all the TV characters and all of the ways in which these were ideas were brought in and brought into schools and everything they accomplished. And in that document, even all the way back in 1987, well, number one, it was written by Marshall Kirk, the neuropsychologist, and then a man named Hunter Madsen, the marketing executive. But in the document, he actually went by Erastus Pill. It was a pen name. Erastus comes from a Greek word that is related to the practice of pederasty. Erastus is the older man who takes on a child as his love interest. That was the pseudonym under which he wrote this document, number one. I mean, there's a Wikipedia article. You can read all about Erastus. This is common knowledge, or readily available knowledge, I guess I should say, that this is a pedophilic name in itself. Well, in the document, they were talking about it's important that Americans see homosexuals as victims of they were born this way, but also victims of people treating them poorly. And so there, you can see the marketing skills come out in which they said, look, this macho shirtless guys with mustaches, kind of the Freddie Mercury look, the YMCA guys look that was kind of big in the 70s. I said, we have to get away from that because nobody's going to be sympathetic to those guys. We need older people. We need younger people. We need clean cut people. We need to put those people forward as homosexuals. But I want to read from the document here. This is very interesting. They said, in practical terms, this means that jaunty, mustachioed muscle men would keep very low profile in gay commercials and other public presentations, while sympathetic figures of nice young people, old people, and attractive women would be featured. It almost goes without saying that groups on the farthest margin of acceptability, such as NAMBLA, North American Boy Love Association, must play no part at all in such a campaign. Suspected child molesters will never look like victims. Notice what they didn't say. They didn't say, let's make sure we distance ourselves from NAMBLA. Let's make sure we're not associated with NAMBLA. They called NAMBLA, the pedophiles, literal pedophiles, people that are on the farthest margin of acceptability. I'm sorry, in what world is that acceptable at all, much less on the margin of acceptability? And this whole thing was, let's not let the American people know that those guys are part of our movement. Because if they know that they're part of our movement, they won't accept this. That's despicable. I mean, you understand it from a marketing perspective, but like this is in 1987, they're saying we can't let the American public know that pedophiles are also part of our movement or else they'll never go for it. That to me, that one paragraph says so much about the entire movement.
And by the way, I highly recommend a book that came out over a decade ago. I don't know if my guest is familiar with it, but it's very much in agreement with what he has just told us. The Marketing of Evil by David Kapilian. The subtitle is How Radicals, Elitists, and Pseudo-Experts Sell Us Corruption Disguised as Freedom. And a lot of it has to do with the plan, the actual agenda to make homosexuality normalized in the minds of the populace. And a very, very great job that David Kapilian did. I interviewed him years ago on this. But specifically when it comes to that plus sign, how did you find out that, at least in your very convicted opinion, that is in reference to pedophilia?
Well, as I said, you see things like this from kind of the blueprint makers of the movement saying, hey, these are all the things we're for and this one, but let's not tell them about this. And so, as I said before, there's never, at least until this goes really far down the line, hopefully it never gets to this point where they'll be comfortable tagging a P onto the acronym. They can't do that, but they are more than okay with having pedophiles in their organization, in part of their movement, and so they're going to have to hide it. And so when they say plus, there's two things they're doing with that. One, they want to really include anybody and everybody, everything, even the Q, questioning, anybody who's ever questioned, well, they're part of our movement. No, they're not. Sometimes you'll see them put an A on there for asexual. That's people who are not sexually active. That's not part of their movement, but they're trying to claim everything but the heterosexuals. And when you think about that, all of the letters they've put out there, they've got the two-spirit thing, which is kind of a Native American thing they talk about, or intersex, and all kinds of things and labels they're trying to claim. It's everything but monogamous heterosexuals. Yeah, they will take on all of those groups of people, but the one thing they can't come out and openly say, we're going to accept and include these guys as the pedophiles. But again, baked into their founding documents was pedophiles. Then you go to somebody like Harvey Milk. I'm sure you're well aware of Harvey Milk. He's a gay hero. He had a major Hollywood movie made about him. He has been on a U.S. stamp. There's a U.S. Naval ship named after him. I mean, this man
was on
a gay
stamp.
He was there. Well, in California has Harvey Milk Day. He was a gay state representative in California.
Right. He was.
And yes. And so he kind of got the martyr status in that way. And he's still seen as this huge hero in their movement. He statutory raped young men. He had young men who were confused and were writing to him, and he would correspond to them and say, well, come move in with me, and take them on as his boy lovers. And so, yeah, you have an actual pedophile as one of their heroes. Now, if you're trying to have a movement and say, hey, we're good guys, we're nice people, we're just like you, we're normal, and you find out one of your heroes is a pedophile, that's not how you behave. You don't put him on a stamp. You don't build a statue for that person. You don't name a holiday after that person. You don't ever mention him again. You distance yourself a million miles from him, but he was okay. Well, one of the other things I've written about recently, there is a conservative homosexual journalist who just wrote a thread on Twitter, again, just a week or two ago, talking about his experiences with it all, and said that as a 14-year-old, multiple homosexual men had sexual relationships with him. And he was explaining, and this is the same thing Harvey Milk did, this is part of the culture. This is something they do. He said, this is Chad Felix Green on Twitter, X, whichever one you'd like to call it. He said, in gay male culture, it's viewed as a kind of social acceptance and kindness. Older men took in teenage runaways, treating them as adults. Many left-wing gay men recall these first encounters fondly and see themselves as welcoming the next generation in a sex-positive environment. Again, he just says, this is all part of everything that you're doing, of everything that the movement does, is to the older teach the younger, the older pass it on to the younger, in the sense that Harvey Milk did, in the sense that you've just got so many of these examples. Another conservative commentator, Milo Yiannopoulos, a few years ago said that's exactly how it works. That's how I was brought into it at 13 years old. As young teenagers, they start questioning. Gay men see them as vulnerable and offer them acceptance, and that acceptance leads to sexual activity. I mean, they take them in for that reason. And then as they grow older, they turn around and do it to the next generation. It is a disgusting system, and you've got multiple of them coming forward and saying, this is just how it works. We all know this is how it works. Once you become a part of this community, it gets passed on. And that's, again, as we said earlier, the disclaimer, not to say that they all participate in that, but that it is an open secret within the community that this is something that so many of them have gone through.
In fact, I even remember in the sitcom Will and Grace, the over-the-top, effeminate, homosexual character Jack would frequently have lines that made fun of or attempted to bring humor to the fact that he was attracted to much younger men. And even though he was a young character himself, that they made a clear attempt to show that this seemed to be a very regular aspect of the so-called gay community, where there is an idolatry of youth. And that doesn't seem to have been a secret, that aspect of it. I guess the secret has been the level of youth that we're talking about, even to the point of pedophilia.
Yes. Yeah. Again, early teenage years, puberty right around that time. Of course, it will certainly go younger as well, but there is just something about that, liking to get them as they're changing and growing and taking on, you know, a new view on life and kind of getting their hooks in them at that point. And you've created one for life who participates in the community. And there's the statistics out there about how many sexual partners the average homosexual male has. And it is exorbitant. It is beyond belief. And of course, the STD prevalence. And there's one statistic says that 1 in 3 adult homosexuals will just openly admit or not admit. I'm not sure the term I'm looking for here. Just says that they were sexually assaulted as a child. 1 in 3. I mean, that is a humongous rate that you can very much draw a correlation to. It's a perpetuating cycle that the older do it to the younger, they grow up, and it continues going on. And it's horrible that this happens to our young people, and that so much of this movement is predicated on that, because again, they don't have children. And so you'll see them adopting and you just think, well, man, this should not be allowed because of the rates of abuse that happened in this community. You might remember monkeypox a couple of years ago.
Yes.
When at the height of the COVID hysteria, and you were hearing the next thing that was coming on was monkeypox and people having cases of it and it breaking out. And then you'd see headlines about this is very much being sexually transmitted, and it is very strong in the gay community. And that's really where it's growing. Again, they're very promiscuous. And so it's spreading fast in that community. The average person doesn't have to worry about it. Then you started seeing headlines that animals and small children were coming down with monkeypox. And then all of a sudden, you never heard about monkeypox again.
Wow.
That was buried from the headlines because people can put 2 and 2 together.
Right.
If this is how this thing comes to pass and then animals and children start getting it, bad things are happening. And so, again, this is some people are like, that's crazy. I'm sorry. Use your brain. Follow the logical line of how we got here and then ask yourself, why did that stop being a story? It didn't just disappear. What happened? That is very bad publicity. They're very good at the PR, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, in fact, there is not only a movement to gain acceptance and tolerance for homosexual behavior, where people involved in that are to be treated like equals. There is a movement that in reality, even though it would probably not say it this way, but it's clear that's what they mean, that is promoting the superiority of homosexuality. And I'll give you an example. I was at a town hall meeting in my town here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, several years ago, when there was being a public vote by government officials on defining homosexuality as homosexuals as a protected status group. And ironically, this was being brought to a vote, even though apparently, according to people that I know who did research on this, never in the history of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, was there an act of violence against someone because they were homosexual. At least it was never reported. But during this open town hall meeting, a woman got up and said that she is afraid to even bring her grandchildren into a public restroom, not knowing what's going to be on the other side of that door. This was all linked to the legalization of letting a so-called transgendered person use the restroom of their choice according to what gender they believed they were. And a woman, I don't know if she was a lesbian or if she was just a leftist advocate of homosexuals, she got up and she said, this woman that just said she was afraid to bring her grandchildren into public restrooms because of what might happen to them at the hands of people in the LGBTQ community. She doesn't know what she's talking about. LGBTQ people do not molest children. The people that are guilty of these crimes are typically white, middle-aged, heterosexual, married men. And after she finished her ridiculous speech, I stood up and I said, I hope that you all heard what that woman said very clearly. Let the fog settle for a minute. She was making a case for homosexual superiority over heterosexuals. They would never in a million years harm your children. But people like me, white heterosexual males, middle-aged males, we're the ones you got to look out for. We're the ones that should have a target on our backs and should be looked upon with suspicion, because we're the ones that would do this. And it even goes beyond that. No heterosexual man would be taken seriously if he wanted to lead a Girl Scout troop on a camping trip into the woods with your daughters. And yet, we're supposed to trust a homosexual man to bring your sons out into the woods? Am I making sense here?
Absolutely. And this is one of these things you keep seeing of, they're downplaying it. Of course, there's the drag queen story hour thing, and we're perfectly safe, and we love children, and all of those things. And time after time, you're seeing the headlines where one who was outspoken about, hey, we're safe around children, and it's your problem, you're bigoted that you don't want us around your children. And then you see that person turn up going to jail for possessing child pornography or indecent exposure or worse, unfortunately. And this happens again and again, and you can find cases Googling these things where that just keeps happening. And then you see, I'm sure you remember, I think it was in 2021, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus singing, and they were spinning it as humor and satire and all that, but it was a song called We're Coming for Your Children.
Really? I didn't know about that.
Oh, you hadn't? Oh, man, this you'll have to look this up later. The words I pulled up here, will convert your children, happens bit by bit, quietly and subtlety, and you will barely notice it. And they just kind of sing the whole song about, well, we're going to teach them. He said, you'll be disgusted when they start learning things online that you kept far from their sight. We'll convert your children. Yes, we will. Reaching one and all. There's really no escaping it, because even grandma likes RuPaul.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they came out immediately after and said, well, it was just a joke. We didn't mean that or anything. I'm sorry, you don't joke about the sexualization of children. Normal people don't do this. Brains that are functioning normally and people that have any sense of morality and dignity do not make jokes about the sexualization of children. And anytime, if you were around a heterosexual person that was joking about sexualizing your children, the first thing you do is you get your kids as far away from that person as possible. This is somebody in that group, they all thought it was a good idea to sing that, to write the words, to sing it, to record it, to post it online, and just as, oh, yeah, this is it. You know, oh, yeah, we're coming for your children. We're these big, scary monsters. That's not something you make a satire out of. That's not something that you joke about. And that they would do that just says so much about the kind of movement we're dealing with.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. So please make wise use of this time. Please try to contact as many of our advertisers as possible, knowing that our advertisers and the funding that comes through their advertising campaigns are what keeps Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in existence. And of course, send in your questions to Jack Wilkie on our subject to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. We will get to your questions that have already been submitted after this commercial break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to highlight some books that perfectly reflect the content of our conversation today with Jack Wilkie. First of all, solid-ground-books.com carries Five Lies of Our Anti-Christian Age by Rosaria Butterfield. She was formerly, before she became a born-again believer in Christ, very actively involved in lesbianism. And in addition to being a self-professed leftist and Marxist as a tenured professor at the University of Syracuse, New York. And that is a magnificent book by this dear sister in Christ, who's a dear friend of mine. Also, Surviving Religion 101, Letters to a Christian Student on Keeping the Faith in College. And obviously, that's an open ground where there is an open season on young minds where professors are polluting young minds with the lies of Satan, including the lies of homosexuality. This is by Michael Kruger. Also, there is a book by my longtime dear friend, The Same-Sex Controversy, Defending and Clarifying the Bible's Message About Homosexuality by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, co-authored by Jeffrey Neal. You can get that there as well. And Christian Ethics, An Introduction to Biblical Moral Reasoning by Wayne Grudem. And if you want to make it easy on yourself, all you have to do is go to solid-ground-books.com and type in homosexual into the search engine, and all those books will come up. That's solid-ground-books.com. Please make sure you mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Jack Wilkie, we have some important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, private practice like a law firm or medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, no matter what it is, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, I never want my listeners giving less money to their own church where they're a member than you normally would give your church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. Never cut into the money that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving for your church in order to bless us with a gift. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still his money, keep in mind. We're primarily to use it to provide for church and family, and providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank and available for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Please, if you love this show, share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I have helped many people spanning the globe in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find biblically faithful churches, and sometimes those churches were just a couple of minutes from where these listeners lived. And that may be you too if you are without a biblically faithful church home anywhere in the world. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jack Wilkie. And our subject today, I believe, is a very important one due to the apathy and softness and tolerance of the homosexual rights movement, even to some extent by professing evangelical Christians. Please send in your questions on what is the true LGBTQ plus mission for our children. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before I go to our listener questions that have come in already, I noticed that in your blog article that really was the spark behind me contacting you to conduct this interview, is that you mentioned something that is a really at the heart of a lot of what we're talking about today as far as the softness of many in the Christian church towards this sin. There is a mantra that is being droned on and on and on, which is a half-truth. Sin is sin. And obviously, all sin, no matter whether it is heterosexual sin or homosexual sin, in fact, even if it is what we would consider a completely minor sin telling a white lie, so-called, or what have you, any sin that is not covered with the blood of Christ will send a person to eternal torment. But that does not mean that while we are on earth, we are to treat all sins equally. And that would even include the difference between heterosexual sin and homosexual sin. During a debate that I arranged and moderated recently between Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, dear friend of mine, and Dr. Gregory Coles, who is a part of a movement called Side B Christianity, in which these folks claim to be gay, and they believe there is absolutely nothing inappropriate to refer to yourself as a gay Christian as long as you do not consummate that desire physically or even lust after anyone. They would agree that that's sin, but they think that the so-called innate state of being gay is completely neutral, and you don't need to repent of that state of being. And it was made clear during this debate that Dr. Coles even viewed being gay as a gift from God, because it prevented him from lusting after women, because in his statement, which I believe was inaccurate, the world is far more bombarded with heterosexual imagery that triggers lust in people than it is with male-centered imagery. I just don't even believe that that's true in this day and age. But if you have any comment on that further, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, the Side B thing is very dangerous, because they're, your heart does have to go out to young people who have these attractions and these issues. And you think about young people are inherently unsettled, trying to find their identity, trying to find what they are. And it is such a mark against our society that we've allowed these things to be part of the buffet of options available to them. I mean, even when I was 13 years old, this was not even a consideration. Now the average 13-year-old, especially in schools, and if they have a phone and all that, they are introduced to this gigantic spectrum of bad ideas. And then, of course, you've got, as you say, Christians who should know better softening this, saying, well, it's okay up to a point, not exposing the evils of this. And so you bring up that idea of sin is sin. Yeah, the wages of sin is death. Obviously, Romans 6, we know how ugly sin is and how it separates us from God. But it is really nonsensical, if you've read through the Bible, to say that sin is sin, that it's all the same, in that God treats them very differently.
Yes.
If you look at Romans 1, it starts with not acknowledging God, not having adequate gratitude for what God has done. And it's multiple layers of they did this, they exchanged God for something else, and God gives them over, God gives them over, God gives them over. And it's at the end of that spiral away from God that you start getting the exchanging the natural for the unnatural, and homosexuality. These LGBT things are way down the line. And you can see this in the American culture. Were there homosexual people in the 1940s, 50s, 60s? Yes, but it was something that was not broadly acceptable. It was not something that the average 13-year-old had to think, am I gay? Am I trans? Am I any of these things? As we've spiraled away, that comes onto the menu, as I mentioned a minute ago. And so you've got the Romans 1 issue. You've got the Old Testament. You look at the law. Some sins, it was go sacrifice, you know, a small offering and make atonement for it, and then it's okay. Others were you're put to death. You are, or you're cut off from your people. Like the punishments varied greatly. Well, if sin is sin, why would that be the case? Or you think about Jesus saying, one who causes one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the sea. That's not, he didn't say that about everybody.
Right.
He didn't say that about every sin he encountered. Certain ones are deserving of greater punishment, are deserving of greater scorn, and they're worse in that sense. Not worse than that you get more hell. I mean, it's heaven, like you're separated from God or not, but worse in that God sees them as worse and more perverted and more just evil toward other people.
Yeah, and I would go further to say that one of the huge, enormous differences between heterosexual sin and homosexual sin is that heterosexual attraction is a gift from God, and when it is sin, it is an abuse of a gift from God. You can never say that about homosexuality. There is no way, shape, or form that that is a gift from God, in spite of Dr. Gregory Cole's claims that his being homosexual was a gift of God. In fact, he even said during the debate that if he was offered a pill that would cure his gayness, he wouldn't take it. So this is quite a disturbing scenario. And in fact, keep in mind, evangelical Christians all over the United States are inviting Gregory Coles to speak to their youth groups. But anyway, let me go to one of our listener questions. Lemuel in Spanish Forks, Utah. Spanish Fork, Utah. Lemuel asks, do you know if the added triangle featuring pink and baby blue colors on the homosexual rainbow flag is referring to pedophilia? I know that some homosexual activists have sought to rebuke and refute that insinuation, saying that it is symbolizing transgenderism. Have you found anything to the contrary?
Yeah, I don't believe the commonly seen flags have yet to add a pedophile or minor attracted, as they would like to call them. I do believe that is something that is out there, but I don't believe it's the triangle and circle one that has kind of come into use in recent years.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lemuel. We also have Doreen in Seaford, Long Island, New York. And Doreen says, how do you respond to the fact that even homosexuals were infuriated and disgusted over Academy Award-winning actor Kevin Spacey having had relations with younger men, and he has even had his career ruined over it, to the support of those most vocal in the homosexual rights community?
Yeah, so that was interesting that, you know, he gets busted as an abuser, and his excuse is, well, I'm homosexual. Like, that, it's like, that's not what people are talking about here, but he correlated the two. But they have a good point in that he was outcast for that. I will say, and this goes back to the after the ball and what those authors put together in the 1980s, they are very protective of the messaging in certain ways. In other ways, as you see, they're not. You can see what they're getting at, but in other ways where it's kind of openly correlated, they don't like it. And so I mentioned earlier Milo Yiannopoulos, a very bombastic. He's gay. He was a right-wing pro-Trump journalist, editor, writer, very prominent in the 2016 election cycle. And again, just a really raunchy, offensive person. But that didn't stop him. Like, he had a great job. He had a $250,000 Simon & Schuster book deal. And then he went on a podcast or on a video chat on some show and explained the process by which he was brought into homosexuality as a 13-year-old and kind of trained and taken in as an older man, or by an older man, just as that Chad Felix Green I mentioned earlier, that same process. And it was when he made that podcast appearance and shared the details of how he was recruited into homosexuality as a 13-year-old, his book deal was canceled, his speaking engagements were canceled. He was just off the map overnight. Whereas, I mean, this guy made a living on saying offensive things, of racially insensitive things, and flamboyantly homosexual, even among conservatives and things like that. That it never got him, quote unquote, canceled. But the minute he said, yeah, everybody, because that was the other thing he said, this is what happened to me. And he said, this is how it works. This is how this community operates. And the same I read from that Twitter thread by Green, he was saying the exact same things. And that was the thing where he crossed the line and wasn't allowed to. And I think very similar with Spacey, it's when he correlated his homosexuality with going after young men, that they will not, they did not want him saying that part out loud.
And of course, the crimes he was accused of, which some of them anyway, the ones he was tried for, he has been apparently exonerated for. But these were unwelcomed sexual advances and claims of molestation and so on. So it wasn't mutual consent involved in these charges.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, the consent thing, that is, they still say they're very, very pro-consent. They just think young people can consent. And so right. they start blurring their own lines. It gets very messy.
Yeah. Let's see. We have Bobby in Searcy, Arkansas. And Bobby says, please, I want you to understand fully, I am not trying to soften the seriousness of grown men, or women for that matter, having sexual relations with teenagers far lower in age than themselves. But do we make a mistake when we make an absolute equivalency between pederasty, or people who have sex with teenagers, and pedophiles? The reason I'm saying this is because it actually, I think, counteracts what the attempts are in trying to make the pederasty evil. It actually makes pedophilia less evil because it is more normal to have an attraction to a fully developed teenager. Am I making sense?
Okay, so they're making puberty kind of a dividing line there of the 13 or 14 year old is different than the 7 or 8 year old. And I mean,
if you call it all the same thing, you know.
Right. And there are different terms for a reason. On the other hand, let's put the heterosexual filter on this and try it. A person, you know, a man who goes after a 7 year old girl, that's a very evil thing. A man who goes after a 13 year old girl, very evil thing. Are there differences? Yes, subtly, but both of these people should face the full extent of the law. I think most people would agree of like, you just can't do that. And so
right.
Splitting hairs on it. I mean, is there a difference in that sense? And that's where people get to the age of consent, but this is what happens. Somebody says, well, there's a difference here. And so we can lower the age of consent to 13 because most of them have passed through puberty. And I'm not saying this person is claiming that, but I am saying that when we really start trying to draw another line in here to make it a little less bad. There's stories obviously out there of course the Catholic Church with the young altar boys, but of ministers, you know, I've read about where they went after young interns and things like that, 14 or 15 year old high school boys that were coming in and working and things like that. They're evil people. They're predatory people. And I know this is what Yiannopoulos was saying, what Green was saying, is they think at 13 or 14, I'm consenting to this. I like this. I want to be a part of this. That's where you start getting that into their heads, is when you allow them that distinction in that sense. I mean, is there a technical distinction? Yes, but I don't think functionally we should draw much of a line there.
Okay, thank you, Bobby. And before I go to any more listener questions, I want to make sure that you have as much as possible exhausted the reasons for your being convinced that the plus is referring to pedophilia in the LGBTQ plus acronym or acrostic, and why is this significant?
Yeah, let me give you a couple of brief other ones. You might remember Florida with the Don't Say Gay bill, as it was labeled.
Right.
And they made it to where it really, I mean, they labeled it that to say they've basically made it illegal to say the word gay in school and things like that. You know what they said was up to fourth grade, teachers are not allowed to discuss their relationships and sex life with children. Why would anybody have a problem with that? That is a very strange thing to protest. And when they say this is an attack on our community to say we're not allowed to talk about our sex life with children, what does that say about your community? I mean, I'm a heterosexual person. I have no problem you saying, like, I shouldn't talk about those things around children. I don't talk about those things around children, especially other people's children and in a school setting and things like that. That's absurd. But boy, they threw a fit over that. And again, labeled it "Don't Say Gay," like you're trying to erase us from existence by not letting us talk about these things with children. What does that say about your existence? What does that say, again, about your community? So there was that. I believe last time I was on, we talked about my book Failure, about public schools. And there's a whole chapter in there dedicated to the sexualization of the curriculum. And under the Obama administration, there was a gay man named Kevin Jennings. He started the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educators Network. And his whole thing was about getting homosexuality into the schools in the 90s even. And his messaging was about bullying. Same thing, same playbook that the other guys had set out in After the Ball. Let's make ourselves victims. Let's make people feel bad for us. Let's make it to where this can happen. And you might remember, he, as I mentioned, he was under the Secretary of Education under President Obama. You might remember Michelle Obama was big on anti-bullying initiatives in schools. And then this guy was driving a lot of that about, we got to make our schools safe and non-bullying. But that was a very broad umbrella in which he could bring in homosexual material. And he said as much in the 90s even, saying that, look, they see us as promoting homosexuality. He says, we seized upon our opponent's calling card, safety, and explained how homophobia represents a threat to student safety by creating a climate where violence, name-calling, health problems, and suicide are common. He said, this framing short-circuited their arguments and left them backpedaling from day one. So strategically, he brought it into the schools under the guise of keeping kids safe. And so again, these are people going, how do we get this idea to elementary school children? How do we sexualize? How do we teach them about our ways of sexuality? On the one hand, that's weird. On the other, if you believe it's a normal way of life, of course you're going to try and teach it to kids. It's inevitable that they take this to children, which creates the problems that we're seeing.
And the significance of that being, even if it is a hidden thing right now, the plus in a publicly official acronym or acrostic to identify a so-called people group, and we know that this is not a people group, these are behaviors. And I think one of the problems in regard to this whole conversation is that Christians have even picked up and adopted the common modern vernacular. When it comes to this activity, we tend maybe even to unconsciously view, like they call it, the homosexual community or the LGBTQ community, as if this is an ethnic group. It is not. These are people who are individuals who have abominable behaviors and desires. And they're not even all the same in that acronym. I've heard even people who are openly homosexual in their activity really try to oppose the transgender movement. You know, they will claim that it's a completely different phenomenon and movement. And of course, you even have feminists who are strangely quiet, but there are some that come out of the woodwork who are opposed to the transgendered dominance of female sports at this point, where you'll have biological men beating the tar out of their female competitors mm-hmm. in all kinds of sporting activities. Don't we have to be careful about adopting the way the world has come to view this? It's kind of interesting how it is only in relation to homosexual activity that they are viewed as a people group. Nobody views adulterers and heterosexual fornicators as a people group, if you follow what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And this is why I talk about this, and I think I see some people's eyes glaze over when I do. But I think churches have to really hammer down on teaching about critical theory. And critical race theory is the one you hear about the most. That is one manifestation of it. But critical theory is this Marxist power dynamics view of society, the oppressed and the oppressor. And anytime they want to bring an idea in and get it accepted and make it something that the people are okay with, they play this oppressor game, and so they make an identity group, as you say. They're identified by their sexuality and all of the things that go along with that, the transgenderism or whatever. And now they are a people group, but they are not white Christian heterosexual people group, so they are automatically an oppressed people group, and therefore they have rights. Therefore, they can kind of play this persecution card and get acceptance that they should not be getting, because they're playing on people's good hearts, people's good sympathy, to say, oh, you know, I feel bad for these people and all they've been through. Again, read that document, the overhauling of Straight America in 1987, and you'll see they knew this. We can make people sympathetic towards us. We can essentially use their Christian values of loving their enemies and loving the downtrodden and all of these things. And so critical theory takes advantage of Christians and takes advantage of people, non-Christians, who want to try and be good moral people by making them into an identity group, a community like you're talking about, and then making that an oppressed community. And then you get stuff like, well, Christians have just been so mean to homosexuals. We really haven't. I mean, there's the Westboro Baptist thing, which all of us look at and say, yeah, that's not good. We don't endorse holding up those signs at soldiers' funerals. I mean, that has nothing to do with it. But as far as otherwise, how are we so mean to them? But they play this card to get the sympathy, to play the critical theory game, and then we're on the back foot, and here we are.
Okay, we have Trisha in Waterville, Maine, who wants to know if my guest has any familiarity with the Revoice movement that came into being from out of the Presbyterian Church in America denomination.
The Side B thing we discussed earlier, right. Revoice is kind of the big organization that has pushed that. I'm not entirely familiar with all of them. I know for a while there I followed the work of Preston Sprinkle as he got more and more comfortable with them. I don't know if you're familiar with his name.
Yes, in fact, his organization has Dr. Gregory Coles on its staff. He is the one that I mentioned earlier that debated James White.
Yeah, there's some really dangerous stuff coming out. And again, they are Christians who have accepted the oppressor thing, and that these are an oppressed community, and so Christians really need to apologize and rethink and listen. That's one of those things you hear in critical race theory a lot, right? You need to listen, because you don't know how you're an oppressor until you listen. Same thing with the LGBT stuff. Well, you don't know how you've oppressed us, so you need to sit down and listen to how you've oppressed us, and it usually always comes back to, you told us what the Bible says, and that was oppressive. It's a very dangerous thing. So I know you had the debate episode or the debate hosted on that. I'd point people back to that, because I'm sure Dr. White did a great job with it. And so not to get too deep into that now, but the Revoice Side B, it's very much a compromise position on something that we just can't afford to do a compromise on.
Amen. And we're going to our final, our final break right now. If you have a question for Jack Wilkie, please submit it as soon as you can, because we are rapidly running out of time. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology
at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And don't forget, folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is also supported heavily by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, and the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before I forget, I'd like to enthusiastically promote a documentary produced by my friend Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah. This is just one of many documentaries, very professionally done documentaries, created by Pastor Wallace. And this one is titled, An Earnest Plea to Gay Christians. He is not using that term, gay Christians, as if he believes that's a valid concept. He believes it's oxymoronic. But he titled it that way because that is the way a far too large segment of the population calls themselves. So if you want to view this documentary, it's absolutely free of charge. Go to gaychristian.video, gaychristian.video. And for all of the interviews that we've conducted on this subject on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and in the search engine type either homosexual or type in gay, and all of the interviews that we've done on this issue will come up. I'd like to highlight my interviews with Dr. Rosaria Butterfield and also Dr. M.D. Perkins of the American Family Association. We are now back with Jack Wilkie, and we have been discussing an issue that is controversial in the body of Christ, and it shouldn't be. It should be as clear and as easily recognizable as the shoes on your feet, that homosexuality in all forms is an abomination and is unnatural and should never be tolerated in any way, even if it is just in the realm of a proclivity or a desire. This cannot be justified by calling it Christian in any sense. Jack, I guess even though we can say this till we're blue in the face, people will still accuse us of being mean-spirited and hateful, but you are not in any way intending to be unnecessarily cruel toward people who have these desires. You're, in fact, I believe with confidence that your motivation is not only the love of God, which is first and foremost, the love of his inerrant and holy word, but also the love of sinners who are enslaved by this sin. You want them to come to repentance and inherit eternal life just as you and I have. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. And it really raises the question of addressing sinners. There is that kind of idea, that strategy, that it is by niceness that people come to the truth, and by showing them how kind and loving and nice we are, that's what brings people around. And obviously we should speak the truth in love. Obviously we should be loving and welcoming. And you mentioned Rosaria Butterfield, and I've read her story of as a lesbian college professor, it was Christians inviting her over, and they let her know in no uncertain terms, we disagree with you. We believe you're in sin. We think you're wrong, but table fellowship, having her over to their house and things like that. So there was that love, but there also was the bluntness to say, yeah, we're not going to hide the fact that we think this is wrong and we think this whole idea is wrong. And I think we have to have that balance. Whereas there is that strategy that says, let's really push love. And if they come open to that, then we can tell them the truth. No, let's be truthful up front while being loving. And part of that truthfulness is to say, hey, when you identify with this, when you go to pride parades, when you fly that rainbow flag, this is what you're associating with. are you okay with the sexualization of children? Are you okay with Harvey Milk being an icon, as we talked about? Are you okay with so many of these things? You know, what are your thoughts on NAMBLA? Like, this is something that I think it's important with any time you're confronting all of us in our sin before we come to Christ. You got to be put on the spot a little bit. You've got to be made a little uncomfortable, because if you're never uncomfortable, you're never going to consider, why do I need Christ, and why do I have a sin problem and things like that. And the discomfort is where the questions and the doubt and the uncertainty arises. And we can come in when there is doubt and uncertainty and say, well, here's a better way. Here's the real answer. Here's Jesus Christ and the Bible and all of the things that we have here to teach you that will move you away from a movement that is open to these terrible things. And I think just kind of pretending it's not there because it's uncomfortable is not helping anybody.
Now, would you agree with the assessment I made earlier that many evangelicals today are treating the sins that involve a homosexual bent in a softer, kinder, gentler way than they would with heterosexual sin? It just reminded me of a sermon that Vody Baucom gave.
I was going to bring that up. I'm glad. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
And Vody said he was shocking people listening because they were baffled as to why he was saying this, but he made it clear after his opening remarks saying, I love wife beaters, and some of my best friends in the world are wife beaters. And he kept going on and on making these disclaimers so that wife beaters would not be offended by his message. But then he went on to make it clear why he was saying that sarcastically. He said that most of the sermons, likely, I guess he doesn't have infallible knowledge of this, but most of the sermons he is guessing in the evangelical world that are intended to expose homosexual sin as being against the scriptures, unbiblical, and so on, there needs to be an apology made in the minds of many before they do that, where they don't do that with other sins. This is a very bizarre phenomenon, isn't it?
It really is, and it just says how indoctrinated we are by the culture, how we're getting our sensibility from the world rather than from God's word. Because, yeah, wife beaters, and somebody would say, well, they're not beating anybody. Okay, we'll make it an adulterer. Nobody looks at their friend who's an adulterer and is like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want anybody to get the idea that I hate him when I tell him he shouldn't commit adultery. That's not even a consideration. I mean, like, this is you say wrong is wrong. And when we have this tiptoeing around the issue because we've been trained by everything we see on TV, everything we see on the internet, that, boy, Christians are so mean, Christians are so bad at this, and you really do need to apologize before you say anything that's going to go against these people. And the idea that love equals tolerance equals acceptance equals looking the other way or whatever. No, love is saying God's not okay with this. Love is, again, lovingly doing it. There is an unloving way to speak the truth. But, yeah, hiding behind and soft peddling and all of this stuff because the world tells us that's what we're supposed to do, we've got to stop asking the world, how do we approach these issues?
Well, we've got time to squeeze in one more question from a listener. We have Merle in Bogalusa, Louisiana. And Merle says, I'm wondering if your guest has any comments as to what I believe is the irresponsible and unbiblical advice of a very well-known Reformed radio and television host and author, where he was telling an elderly woman to attend her grandson's same-sex marriage ceremony.
Yeah, I remember that controversy a few months ago.
Yeah, he's talking about Alistair Begg. I've already addressed this on my show using Alistair's name. It surprised me more than I could say. I've had Alistair on this program. I have a great love and respect for him. But at this point, I have a severe, extreme hesitancy to recommend him, especially enthusiastically. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. It makes you question somebody's judgment when they come down on something that way. I fully agree he was wrong about that. And his follow-up comments about essentially, well, you American Christians are just so argumentative or so, I don't remember the term he used, but it's like you guys just want to fight about everything and make everything an issue. And it's like, I'm sorry, but some things you have to take a stand on. And if you don't take a stand on this one, what's it going to be? I mean, this is, you have to. And that is one of those things of a desire to not be seen as going after controversy or as being judgmental. That, get away from that, worrying about that. Worry about what God thinks about something.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that our listeners have your website again. It is jackwilkie.co, Jack, W-I-L-K-I-E.co. Thank you so much for doing an absolutely superb job today, Jack. I look forward to your return to the show. I want to thank everybody who listened. I hope that you all have a safe and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.